Like that weather outlook, I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this primary election day, Tuesday, February the 20th. And we'll talk about humor and politics this hour. But no, we won't talk about one of the candidates running for Madison mayor. Ba-dum-bump. Before I dig myself too deep a hole, let me play for you the promo for the new half-hour news hour on the Fox News Channel. That's right, the Fair and Balanced Fox News Channel.
This is a public service announcement. Our new show, the half-hour news hour, may offend the following. The left. The far left. In fact, anyone standing to the left. Gay penguins. Lawyers. The ACLU. Anyone who has the letters ACLU in their name. Democrats. People who voted for Democrats. People who know Democrats. Gay penguins. Finally, there's a show for the rest of us. The half-hour news hour. An equal opportunity offender. Premieres Sunday. Illegal aliens. Space aliens. Tom Cruise.
Okay, it premiered Sunday night, last Sunday night, on the Fox News Channel. The Half Hour News Hour is a fake news show, like Comedy Central's The Daily Show, except as the promo more than hints, it goes after targets on the left. It's a news hour for conservatives. But is it funny? Why is Fox doing this? Is The Daily Show really so left-leaning it needs a right-leaning program to balance it? Do conservatives need a political satire show? Do conservatives have a sense of humor? Just kidding. We will talk about humor and politics and the dueling political satire shows and wonder if you caught this new half-hour news hour and whether you thought it was funny or whether you think it will bomb. Whether you are a regular viewer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and what all this means. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Does this type of show change minds? Does it serve a purpose? Is there really anything to laugh about these days when it comes to the world of politics? We are happy to have with us Paul Lewis, a professor of English at Boston College, and he's the author of the book Cracking Up, American Humor in a Time of Conflict. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Your book is on humor or comedy in general, not entirely political humor, right?
That's correct.
But you do have some George Bush jokes in it?
Yeah, well, I see George Bush and George Bush as a figure of satire, the butt of many jokes, as being symptomatic in a way of the divided state of American humor and especially American political satire in our time.
Well, I was going to say maybe you can share some of those later in the program, but let's talk a little bit about this half-hour news hour on Fox News. Did you catch it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I think it's a very controversial program, and it illustrates the way in which half of the country, or maybe, you know, some percentage of the country, is laughing about a certain kind of politics, and the other half, or whatever percentage, is laughing about another. So the cracks in our culture are highly illustrated by responses to this show. Critics haven't been kind, by the way.
Wait, what are they saying?
Well, they're saying that it's lame, that there's not much talent in the writing staff. I could give you a quote, pretty interesting stuff out there on the web. For example, with its resurrected jokes and lifeless delivery, the show seems unlikely to appeal to anyone except your conservative great uncle and the completely untapped zombie demographic. Now, that's on the Comedy Central blog, so they're in the opposition to this program.
Well, you know, this show's being produced by the producer of 24?
Yes, a show which has never been known for its humor.
Yeah, it's not a knee slapper by any means. So.
If Jack Bauer ran into someone who wanted to tell him a joke, he'd torture the guy, you know? Cut to it. I've only got 30 seconds to stop the bombs from going off.
So, I mean, what's going on with Fox News? They're saying that we need to balance out this left Comedy Central show?
Yeah, I think that people at Fox News believe that they've been the target of so much ridicule themselves from Comedy Central, figures like Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart, that it's time to strike back, that the right has to show we have a sense of humor too, and we can direct satire at you.
Yeah. Now, this is just in the pilot form, right? It's not, this was just an experiment?
They're doing two shows, and then they're going to see how they play.
And so far, not so good.
Well, I don't know. I imagine that fans of Fox News like this quite a bit, although they did have to go for what sounded to me like canned laughter.
Yeah, it did sound like a laugh track. In fact, let me play the opening of the show on, I don't know if it was the opening, but it was in the show on Sunday. It features the two co-anchors reading a fake news story about Barack Obama.
Okay.
And let's play that.
And now, the Half Hour News Hour with Kirk McNally and Jennifer Lang.
Illinois Senator Barack Obama admits that as a teenager, he sometimes used cocaine. This news sent Obama's approval rating among Democrats plummeting to an all-time low of 99.9%. But in a related story, Senator Obama has just been endorsed for president by former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry.
All right. Pretty funny, huh?
Well, if it's a live audience, then they're primed to laugh at this stuff. They almost anticipate the joke, and they're already laughing.
Yeah. Now, the clapping sounded authentic, but, yeah, that did sound like a canned laugh track during that. Now, I don't know. I guess it was mildly amusing that his ratings plummeted to 99.9%. But then we didn't play the clip. They also did a lot of kind of personal attack stuff, like calling him B.O. as Barack Obama and talking about his body odor or something.
Exactly.
Like.
And even worse, they said that his nickname in college was Gassy. So if that's the level of wit, then I think, you know, should we vote for Republicans because they keep themselves nice? I don't think so.
Do conservatives or liberals have I don't know, a market on personal attacks? It seems a lot of the humor in this show seem to be personal attacks.
I think to some extent that's because of the weakness of the conservative political position right now. Are they going to tell jokes about how the Iraq War is going so well, contrary to what all those foolish progressives predicted? Are they going to tell jokes about polar bears going extinct? So I think they're almost driven back to personal attacks because everyone has foibles, and it is possible to attack almost anyone.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, I don't know. Let me play another clip, in fact. Let me play Rush Limbaugh is supposedly elected president in 2008.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, good evening. With last fall's bitter recount behind us, my Democratic opponent, Howard Dean, finally getting the medical attention he has so desperately needed for so long. We move forward as a nation. Some say is more divided than ever before. As president, I hereby promise you, the American people, 4 years or more of Commander-in-Chief excellence. Not a moment too soon. After just 2 years of a Democrat Congress, America's international reputation is a shambles. Our economy teeters on the brink of collapse. And Cindy Sheehan's cross-country shooting spree still fresh in our memories. Still, be of good cheer, my friends. America's best days are still ahead of her now that the grown-ups are back in charge.
But, of course, we don't actually see the visual there. And can you tell us what we missed?
Well, Rush Limbaugh is in the Oval Office. This is how the show opened, by the way. Mm-hmm. And eventually Ann Coulter comes in. She's his vice president. And the visual is them sitting and standing around in the Oval Office behind the president's desk. And eventually he goes on to smoke a cigar. Because it's not a smoke-free zone anymore. Rush Limbaugh is a fascinating figure in this whole discussion. I'm sure some of your callers will call in to defend him and some to criticize him. But he, right along, has been putting out satire and humor over the last two decades. It's a big part of his shtick. He's only half angry. I call his combination of anger and humor rage-acule, and he's made it his trademark rhetorical stance. And I think it's really interesting what he's trying to do here. This joke about Howard Dean getting medical attention is clearly meant to divert attention from Rush Limbaugh's own problems as a drug addict, a drug abuser of prescription drugs, and as someone who's gotten into trouble smuggling Viagra into the country, presumably. So to turn that back at Howard Dean, who's never been associated with drug use or abuse of medicine or needing medical attention, aside from, you know, temperamental displays, I think it's kind of shallow. I don't think that joke is going to work, and I'm afraid that's a symptom of a lot of the program.
Was this any indication of the right, Rush Limbaugh, the right being able to poke a little fun at themselves or not?
Well, you'd like to think so, and maybe so. I think Ann Coulter's remark at the end of that introduction, where she talks about how if you disagree with us, we'll invade your country, bomb your children, and all that, I thought that was a little bit more in that spirit. Limbaugh, I think, was trying to sneak one to ask and just say, you know, let's not think about my own transgressions, but that's subject to interpretation.
We're talking with Paul Lewis. He's the author of the book, Cracking Up, American Humor in a Time of Conflict, and we're talking about humor in or humor and politics, following up on the debut of a new political satire show, The Half Hour News Hour, on the Fox News Channel. It's like sort of a Comedy Central's Daily Show, a fake newscast with the humor jabbing people on the left side of the political spectrum. We wonder if you're laughing. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Fat Tuesday, on this primary election day, Tuesday, February the 20th, 21 minutes past 8 o'clock right now. Kathleen Dunn will be talking politics as well after 9 o'clock, wondering if we are seeing a rise in liberalism or a conservative slump. That's coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking about politics, humor in politics, and political satire following the debut on Sunday night of a new political satire show. This one, for conservatives, jabbing fun at people on the left. It's on the Fox News Channel. Fox News apparently wanting to balance Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. We wonder if this will work. We wonder if this has a purpose. We wonder if you think it's funny. Did you catch it? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Talking with Paul Lewis, who is a professor of English at Boston College, author of Cracking Up, American Humor in a Time of Conflict. And Micah in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Micah. You're on the air.
Hey, I didn't actually see the show, but I heard about it from a friend, and then we looked up a lot of videos on YouTube, and I wouldn't consider myself a conservative, probably closer to a libertarian, but the show was just hilarious, and I thought, the first thing I thought when Rush Limbaugh made the joke about medical attention was his own problems. I thought he was poking fun at himself, but maybe that's just because I've kept up with Rush Limbaugh and people like that, and the Ann Coulter comment about, you know, or we'll invade your country. That was also just as equally funny. And the T-shirt Shiite happens. I thought, oh my gosh, that's great. I've got to go find one on some T-shirt website now.
Who? So somebody is wearing a Shiite happens T-shirt.
Yeah, and you know, and another interesting point is I was just curious if your guest would consider himself on the right or on the left or. An unbiased view. But thanks. I'll take my comments off the air.
Right.
Fair enough question. I don't think there are unbiased responses to things like pointed political satire, and I'm perfectly willing to concede that I think of myself as progressive. And I think very much that the way people respond to this program is going to be based on the political attitudes they bring to it. But on the other hand, there are two writers for this show. The Daily Show has a staff of about a dozen writers. And if this is the best material that they could crank out for two pilot programs, I don't think it speaks well for the future of the show, which isn't to say that people won't call in and many people will like it. I think it has a niche market, but I think that Fox News is trying to reach out beyond that market, and I just don't sense that that's going to happen in spite of what the caller said.
Now, I don't keep up with everything Rush Limbaugh says, but I happened to be listening this week when Rush was talking about this show and, I guess, his appearance on it, and telling people that, you know, this is a pilot. It's not fully funded, you know, like a regular series would be, and I'm not making excuses, but, you know, I hope you'll like it. The fact that it's just a pilot and it's not necessarily fully funded, do they get any breaks for that?
Sure. Mm. Breaks all you want, but it's a tough business, and it's about, you know, market share and audiences, and you have to put your best foot forward early on, or these days you don't get much of a shot.
Yeah. Mike. Oh, Michael's got. I was going to follow up with him. We did get an email from Jacob, no city. At least the Daily Show goes after Democrats as well when they do stupid things. That's right?
It is right. Mm. Although, given the balance of power, the Daily Show over the last 6 years has concentrated on the administration and Republicans in Congress, but they absolutely do, and they're proud of going after wherever they see hypocrisy, dishonesty, corruption. And viewers of that show know that it's true that they do. They're not balanced, but then again, the U.S. government hasn't been balanced in the last 6 years.
Yeah, it says this Fox News show is completely partisan to the right. It's a reaction and not real political satire.
Well, it depends how you define real political satire. If you think of satire as something that comes from the bottom and is aimed against abuse of power, speaking truth to power, then it's hard to see how a conservative satire could be true satire in that sense. I think you can have satire from the top down, but it looks more like bullying, and social control can be kind of unsavory.
Yeah. We talk to every once in a while and play some specials from a group called the Capital Steps. They do musical political satire, put words to some popular songs. And they a recent conversation I had with one of their producers and performers was that while they do try to take bipartisan jabs, it is just so much funnier when you're poking fun at someone in power, rather than, you know, than at that time Republicans were in power, and it was easier to poke fun at Republicans.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And for one thing, because everybody knows about those people, they are famous to the extent that they are broadcast in serious media. And if you're not that powerful, you don't often get onto the nightly news shows and the talk shows and all of that. So it's fun to poke fun at something that people know about.
Yeah. Though they did have a song at the time making fun of John Kerry. It was sung to the tune of Both Sides Now, and it was about how he looks at issues. They did try to be bipartisan with their humor there. Dan in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Dan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have seen a couple of clips online. I think the level of humor is pretty low. I hesitate to get too insulting. I do think that there's a certain amount of intelligence required for really good satire and really good parody, I won't go any further than that. I do want to say I think they've crippled themselves in really aiming to be so conservative and so, you know, to parody the left wing, where I think the successful comedy shows seem to look at what is funny in the news and have sort of a detached attitude in a way that I think is necessary for good comedy. I think if you pigeonhole yourself and you're simply looking for an angle, you leave out what I think results in really good comedy writing, is being able to step back and really look at what is absurd in this situation and not, like I said, kind of constrict yourself into looking how can we bash a certain angle.
It's a good comment. And if you think about Fox News as a network, it itself has been treated as a joke by left-wing satirists and by The Daily Show, people like Stephen Colbert. So what is their position in relation to this? They're not just looking for absurdities in the news to make fun of. They're striking back. This is the Empire Strikes Back. And when the Empire strikes back, you better laugh or you're in trouble. But they don't have that kind of control, do they?
Thank you very much, Dan. I see this piece, you wrote an op-ed piece on this, and I love the possible title, Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly Walk Into a Bar.
Yes, they do.
Let's talk a little bit about the political impact of satire. Does this change any minds? Does this mean anything?
I'm not so sure that performance comedy has that big of an impact. In a way, I think, for the most part, the impact of satire follows politics rather than controls it. So George Bush has become more subject to effective satire as his actual policies have been more and more discredited rather than the satire discrediting them. On the other hand, I do think that in marginal political races, humor can have a huge impact. So, for example, you could say that George Allen lost his race in Virginia to Jim Webb because he told a joke that many people, once it got out of his immediate audience, found shockingly inappropriate and revealing about his actual politics and racial attitudes.
Remind us of that joke. I remember the macaca statement, well, but that wasn't that.
Yeah, but that situation was a taunting sort of teasing situation. He was addressing himself to the one person of color in his audience. This was a man who was filming the event for Webb's campaign, and who the people around Allen and Allen himself had started to refer to as macaca, which is a racial slur. And George Allen referred to him that way and also said to this one person of color in the room, "Welcome to the real America. Take a look at what's around you." And for his immediate audience, that seemed funny. But when it got out on YouTube and on cable news networks and was shown over and over again, it seemed to reveal a kind of bullying stance based on racial difference. And, you know, that race was very, very close. So if that misuse of humor influenced one voter in 10,000 or one voter in 1,000, or if it started a wave of reconsideration of George Allen as a man, as a politician, it could have been decisive.
Yeah, well, it seems like it did have a lot to do with what happened to him. We'll talk a little bit about John Kerry's botched joke and how that impacted his future.
Well, yeah. In my book, I talk a good deal about the 2004 campaign, and I think that Kerry came out and got the worst end of the political ridicule. That is, Bush has always been a target of ridicule for not being smart, for being inarticulate. But those are not necessarily traits that most Americans are all that concerned about. Kerry, in 2004, was pilloried for being flip-flopping, faking his war wounds, for being inconsistent in his policies on the war, and for being a wealthy gigolo, essentially. And I think that really came home and hurt Kerry in close races. As for his recent attempt to tell that joke, you know, only my state senator could botch a joke that really could have had some bite at a time when everybody was coming to the conclusion that the point of the joke, which is that Bush has gotten us into this awful and self-destructive conflict in Iraq, only John Kerry, who's no one has accused of having a good sense of humor, could have messed that joke up.
Yeah. Dave in Ellison Bay. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Let me get my speakerphone off here.
Thanks.
I guess what I'd like to say, as someone who would be normally stereotyped as a conservative, when both the so-called conservatives and liberals are poking fun at politics at a time when I think most people have a deep sense that, you know, corruption in politics, whatever you want to call it, is really not funny, is somewhat disturbing to me and is an indication of somehow the powers that be, whoever those powers are on the left or the right, are intent on taking people's eye off the real problems in the country that need to be addressed. And, I mean, I have a sense of humor, don't get me wrong, although I don't watch Jon Stewart and I haven't seen this new show and probably won't watch it. You know, we need to keep a sense of humor, but at the same time, you know, we're talking about real problems that are affecting everyday people. And, you know, there may be some humor to be seen in it, but the thing I said to your screener was, I think in the end, with this show, it's not about striking some kind of balance. It's about Fox seeing an opportunity to make money. And, you know, just like, excuse me for saying so, Jon Stewart and other, you know, so-called left-leaning shows also see an opportunity. You know, they've seen Rush Limbaugh's success over the years, and they've parodied him to a certain degree. And it's, you know, it may be about communicating a message. I don't question that. But it's mostly about making money. And I think it's pathetic that we've gotten to a point in this country where it's all a big joke.
Well, lots of interesting points, Dave. Thank you for calling. Professor Lewis, is this about making money and that's it?
I have no doubt that it is. I have no doubt that that's an absolutely accurate observation. I wonder also about the notion that sometimes can occur. We can reach a point in our history where lots of people are going to feel our problems are too serious to joke about. And, you know, I think that's a valid point, that people arrive at that also in personal life. You know, we don't always want to hear a joke. Someone who is always joking is sort of offensive and distasteful and not very tactful. So there's a balance, and I can easily imagine that people would not enjoy jokes about the Iraq War, for example, because they feel as though it's an intractable nightmare. Of course, on the other hand, we do tend to joke about intractable nightmares as a way of coping with them. So you can sort of turn this thing one way and another, but I think the caller has a valid perspective.
Yeah. Have you heard any good jokes about the Iraq War lately?
Well, I suspect, you know, people who want to follow political humor more closely should check out a webpage called aboutpoliticalhumor.com. It's run by a colleague of mine, Dan Kurtzman, and it's a really exhaustive listing and collection of contemporary American political humor. And I dare say that a search there for Iraq war jokes would take you to tons of materials. The answer to your question is yes, and mm-hmm. the Iraq war has been a subject of humor from the left and from the right from the get-go.
Yeah. You don't think Jon Stewart and the Daily Show is all that successful, though, do you?
Well, I think they're successful in the sense of marketing to a niche market. I think they get about 1.5 million viewers every night. That wouldn't be good for The Tonight Show or for David Letterman's program, but it's okay for a network like Comedy Central to do that. And more and more comedy is being marketed to niche markets, and I think that accounts for some of the partisanship that the last caller was objecting to. That is, if you know you have a small but real audience of devoted think-alike listeners or viewers, you can target your jokes to them.
Well, we hear so much about how Jon Stewart is the news source, especially for young people. Is Fox trying to reach out to that young demographic, too?
I think that must be a part of what their thinking is, and whether that's going to work for them is a big question.
Yeah. You know, there are other, I'm just thinking now, too, that it's not full-fledged, comedy hours, but shows like Keith Olbermann and others, they employ a lot of throwing wadded paper at the camera and, David Letterman-type techniques. They're trying to put some humor or at least entertainment in the presentation of the news.
Yeah, clearly the line between entertainment and news and Fox is either a pioneer or a completely unethical practitioner, depending on your point of view. But the line between entertainment and objective journalism is deeply worn through and crossed over in many different ways. And I think Keith Olbermann's a good example of that, although I suppose his show is more commentary than news reporting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Dave, thanks very much for the call. Sam in Milwaukee is with us next. Hi, Sam.
Well, I think he answered some of the questions that I originally had. I was just going to comment how I used to, when like the Democrats were in power, it seemed like the some of these shows were much more popular back in the days when Clinton was in power.
But yeah, shows were more popular?
Like the left or the right, comedy and talk shows and such. But it was interesting with Jon Stewart's show. It seemed like it was the only bastion for, liberals to actually, have anything to watch or agree with or have somebody on their side when you're turning on the TV, because everywhere else it was like, you people are evil for thinking and actually putting out your point of view and not just accepting the role. And then there was, Jon Stewart out there. And I think part of the definition of humor is, it helps a group of people kind of break some tension by kind of, making some sort of comment how this is kind of absurd. And Dr. Scheibels from UW-Whitewater wrote a whole book on defining, what makes things funny and what your actual mental response, why you kind of think certain things are funny. And I think the Daily Show kind of helped break that national tension. Because it had gone so far right that there was very little, out there that actually commented and said how absurd things have become.
I didn't. Who was the UW-Whitewater professor, Sam, that you cited?
Dr. Scheibels. He was he's a philosophy professor in Whitewater, and he had a hilarious book that basically defines comedy, and it kind of breaks down what your the normal human reaction to kind of absurd situations is usually to giggle, So
yeah. Well, Sam, thanks very much. Just an aside. I didn't hear the name of the professor that you mentioned. Well, what about did the Comedy Central's Daily Show break a national tension, Paul Lewis?
I think it's actually right. That's precisely how many of my friends experienced it, that the years following the 2000 campaign and 9/11 and then the invasion of Iraq in 2003 were times of such one-party rule, and where you felt that the sources for an alternative point of view were few and far between. The left was in cowardly retreat. Paul Krugman and then John Stewart became refuges for progressive America, and I think did contribute to the resurgence of the left in the last election.
So Fox News Channel thinks they need to do the same thing now.
That's correct. But bear in mind, it's not as though power has entirely shifted back to the Democrats or to the progressive side of American politics. It's not exactly the same situation, and I don't think that Fox viewers are going to feel as besieged as, say, Jon Stewart's viewers felt when his show debuted. So leaving aside the difference in talent on the writing staffs of both of those shows, I don't really think that American conservatives are as besieged now as American progressives were when The Daily Show debuted.
Yes, Sam was mentioning how during the Clinton years that these shows were popular. I don't think, well, maybe he's just meaning Rush Limbaugh. Do you consider that a political satire show?
Well, I was saying about Rush earlier that his brand of serious commentary is often tinged with satire. And if you go to Rush's webpage, you'll find that there is a large comedy archive of songs and fake ads and fake news reports that, in fact, do carry this satirical side, this comic side of Rush's work. I wouldn't underestimate it. I think it's a significant part of his charm, to the extent that people find him charming.
Yeah, that's right. I just heard the other day, again, some sort of spoof on Al Gore and global warming, and that was on the Rush Limbaugh show, some sort of made-up production.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Joy, I mean, when is it that a conservative like Limbaugh ever has to say he's sorry? You know, I mean, he pushed for this war in Iraq. He pushed for ignoring global warming, ridiculed Al Gore and everyone else who's ever said we ought to take this thing seriously. Do we have to wait for the water to wash over Rush Limbaugh's desk before he says, you know, I just got that wrong and I'm sorry to have misled the country?
Yeah. Paul Lewis, our guest, he is a professor of English at Boston College. He is also the author of the book Cracking Up, American Humor in a Time of Conflict. And we're talking about humor and politics and political satire and the political impact of satire following the debut this past weekend of a new weekly comedy program on the Fox News Channel. It's called the Half Hour News Hour, and it targets the left. It's presumably, the creators say, a fake news show for conservatives to balance out the programs that they think lean to the left, being Jon Stewart's Daily Show. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this for our guest, wondering if you maybe caught this new half-hour news hour, whether you think it's funny, whether there's a place for it, whether you're a regular watcher of The Daily Show, and what impact you think that has. 1-800-642-1234. We have an open line for you in Madison, 263-1890-263-1890. What's funny about politics? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
This is a public service announcement. Our new show, the Half Hour News Hour, may offend the following: the left, the far left. In fact, anyone standing to the left.
That's the promo that played advertising the Half Hour News Hour, Fox News Channel's new attempt at political satire. And it debuted on Sunday. There is one more coming up, I guess, this Sunday. And the creators and the producers are seeing how this goes. Will it fly? Will it work or will it bomb? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And Christine, oops, wrong button. Now I have Christine in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I did see the half-hour comedy hour. And as a liberal, I was kind of waiting for the punch to hit me, but I don't think it ever quite came. I think South Park does a better job in terms of, you know, really hitting where it hurts and being important.
Professor Lewis?
I'm wondering what the caller would suggest is a typical South Park gag that has more punch than what she saw on this.
I'm sorry, I can't recall anything off the top of my head, but
yeah. in general, you think it's just sharper, it's more pointed, it's more edgy, perhaps.
Yeah. Right. I kind of left the end of the clips that I'm just going, oh, come on, you can do better than that.
What would be doing better? Like, what would you like to see them come after or take on that you think they left out?
Well, I think they're limited somewhat by their audience. It seems like a conservative older versus Comedy Central, which is a 20-something population, and they can be sharper and edgier, dirtier, perhaps.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit on the cell phone, Christine, but Paul Lewis, I mean, she says she's a liberal. She's not going to find this funny, is she?
No, probably not. Although I think that, and by the way, I don't think that most conservatives, certainly most fans of Fox News Network, which is a certain breed of conservative, would find the Colbert Show funny, because he parodies their very thing that they love and are fans of relentlessly. So I think, no, probably not. But it's also the case, and I thought a good point that she was making, is that the Comedy Network, Comedy Central, can be much more profane. They can use rough language, and they always do. They can talk about, you want to talk about body odor, they can go way beyond that kind of thing and talking about body parts and sex and all of this stuff. And, of course, that has a raw comic edge also, which these writers are restrained from doing because they're not transgressive. They represent a political ideology which thinks that American popular culture is too rough at the edges and too secular. So they're trying to do humor which doesn't push those limits. And as a result, they're going to seem a little flatter, I think, a little less punch.
An email from Ray in Barron saying, Fox News has reached an all-time low. They're so desperate to find a new way to discredit the growing Democratic majority and their up-and-coming hopefuls like Obama that they have to resort to fake news like this. They should leave comedy to the pros, Stewart and Colbert, and stick to what Fox does best, being the mouthpiece for the Bush administration. I couldn't turn the channel fast enough.
Well, you know, just a couple weeks ago, Stephen Colbert visited Bill O'Reilly's program, and Bill O'Reilly visited the Colbert Report.
That's right, yeah.
And it got widely discussed who had done a better job. I think almost everyone looking at it, whichever of these figures you more admire, would have thought that Colbert had prepared for it, came ready to be funny, and was actually hilariously funny in the exchanges.
Yeah, and then he stole Bill O'Reilly's microwave.
Always a rough stunt, you know. Yeah.
John and Racine, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I guess I find it worrisome that what's supposed to be a news channel is doing fake news, particularly in an area where people have such a short attention span where they're popping through channels and they're going to hit the Fox News channel and see something like, you know, Barack Obama's found to do cocaine in college, and they're going to assume that this is a real story rather than realizing that this is satire. You know, I guess to me, you keep the comedy on a comedy channel where it belongs. If they want to produce a right-wing comedy show and put it on Comedy Central, you know, that's a great idea.
I think that's a very wise caution, and it seems to me that Fox sort of risks the obvious point, which, as I said earlier, is that a lot of people in this country think that Fox News itself is a joke and does not conform to professional standards of journalism and reporting. So to take it to this one extra step, it calls attention to themselves in a way which I don't think they really want to.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John, for the call. I'm not defending the Fox News half-hour news hour, but that fake news story, it was reporting something that Barack Obama has admitted to experimenting with cocaine when he was younger, right? It wasn't like they totally made that up.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, John. Joe in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Just real quick. I guess what I'm concerned about here is that I don't really think that even if this isn't funny, even if it isn't economically viable, even if nobody listens to this, the problem is that it's Fox, it's corporate America, and they're going to continue to fund it regardless because they want to indoctrinate that demographic that is appealed to by the truth that is inherent in real humor. You can't have real humor without real truth being skewered, you know. You can't have real humor without real hypocrisy. And so, regardless of whether it's funny or not, Fox is going to continue to fund it.
Ooh, so Fox wants to indoctrinate these young folk, Paul Lewis?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. It seems to me that if it isn't funny to a large enough audience, Fox will not continue to fund it. Not because they wouldn't like to do exactly what your caller says, but mm-hmm. because they'll make the judgment that it isn't working.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Joe. Zach in Racine is with us now. Hi, Zach.
Hi. I was just wondering where they're going to get the writers for this. When I think of comedy writing, I would think of in the back room of, you know, one of these shows, what kind of people are in there. And it seems to me that it'd be more of a progressive type of person would even become a comedy writer.
More of a what kind of person?
Well, the progressive, almost left-leaning, so that you could get the edgy comedy, the new stuff.
It's a terrific point to make, and I think in a way it really is borne out by a sense that comedians are people who are very creative, they're very flexible, they sort of play with ideas a great deal of the time, so it doesn't come from rigidity, it doesn't come from a sense that we know what the truth is and we can tell you what the truth is, and I think that idea of trying to imagine the comedy writing scene at the conservative network where you can't step over this political line, where you always have to be making the same kind of point and you always have to be attacking the same targets, it doesn't leave room for that play of the comic imagination, which is more anarchic and chaotic.
Yeah, Leo Duran, my producer, does point out that Dennis Miller is a conservative comedian who is a comedy writer from SNL and, you know, has his own thing going. I think he's on Fox, too.
Yeah, and it's not as though the idea of a conservative comedian is out of the question. Dennis Miller is a funny guy. Just about him, he isn't conservative on every issue. He's quite social libertarian. He is not homophobic. He started out on Saturday Night Live. He lives in a hip world. He just happens to have joined forces with the Bush administration in fighting this war. I wonder what he thinks about it now. Did the liberals cause the war in Iraq to go wrong? Because he pushed very hard for it in the run-up to the war. Dennis Miller did.
Thanks to Zach. Paul in Duluth is with us now. Hi, Paul.
Hi. My just general comment is I think the more political humor there is, the better. And especially for people on the right, I can turn down the sound. I'm a news junkie, and most of the conservatives I see just have a totally peevish look on their face all the time. I mean, literally, you could do a lineup, and I could probably pick out everyone in the lineup who's a conservative because they squint. This guy, Sam Brownback, he looks like a pod person, and he's running for president. And, I mean, you just see him, he's always squinting, and he looks mean.
Hey, Paul, are you getting into personal attacks here?
Well, why the hell not? I'm gay, and I get attacked all the time.
Or take Dick Cheney, somebody, please.
Yeah, I mean, but anyway, I'm a real big fan of The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. I tape it at night because I go to bed before it comes on. But I watch it every morning because, like I say, I'm a news junkie. And I watch it after, and I listen to NPR a lot, Wisconsin Public Radio, and I need a break. And I put it on, and I laugh myself hysterical. Then I go out and walk the dog.
Well, thanks for listening and calling in. Paul Lewis?
I think that the more political humor, the better, too. But on the other hand, some political humor really is trying to advocate for ideas which may not be that constructive. In fact, they may be very harmful. So I think, in a way, there's resistance to political humor when people feel as though it's advocating policies which they don't really want to follow. So there's a difference between jokes like on this program which make fun of books that advocate for gay rights and jokes which are about folly and ignorance and corruption.
Yeah. I guess it's my own personal preference. I don't like humor, whether it's from the right or the left, when it just kind of jabs at, you know, so-and-so's too fat or so, you know, just kind of points out some, you know, physical characteristic of somebody.
Because it's mean.
Yeah, that's right. I don't like mean humor.
I don't either.
when he brought, Paul brought up, why not? I'm gay and I get attacked all the time. That was one of the jokes in this half-hour news hour was, I guess it was supposed to be funny about Hillary Clinton and appointing a cabinet of lesbians or something like that.
It was going to be her diverse cabinet made up entirely of angry lesbians.
Yeah, that was funny, huh?
Well, the other joke about her was that she, you know, this conversation she wants to have with America is essentially phone sex.
Oh, I missed that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you could call Hillary and have the conversation for $4.95 a minute, they said.
And there's another knee slapper. Fred,
oh, yeah.
Fred in Wausau is with us. Hi, Fred.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a couple of comments. One, a nostalgic look at these types of shows. And when I think about this type of show, in the 1960s, there was a show called That Was the Week That Was.
Mm.
And I just remember I loved it, and I was so disappointed when it was non-renewed. But it was on, I think it was on primetime networks at that time, and it was something relatively new that is kind of the predecessor of these shows today. The other comment I want to make is about Bill Maher, who I think is one of the best of this type. And I went to not a taping of his show last summer, but I went to a rehearsal, which was kind of interesting. And it actually kind of spoiled the show for me, because they have a regular studio audience, and instead of having the guests there, they'll have the writers as stand-ins for the guests, and then Maher goes through his questions and so forth, and gets, you know, it's a rehearsal for the next day's shooting, and it kind of made it seem all kind of fake to me, you know, after that point. But I think he's one of the best ones. And this last Friday was his first show, and he's been lucky that he's had so much material to deal with in the last 6 years with Bush and Cheney. I mean, it's just relentless how much material is there that perhaps wasn't there with some of the other presidents.
All right. Thank you very much, Fred. Do you want to talk about Bill Maher, Paul Lewis?
Well, he's certainly a figure who's been extremely controversial. He was the first one to joke in any way about the response to 9/11,
no.
And it cost him his network show.
It sure did.
So people who think that all comedy is licensed and free speech protects the joker and the fool should take a look at what happened to him. On the other hand, he rebounded through niche marketing, and he's doing fine just now because he's found his audience again. Sort of like the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, that's right. And Betty in Wauwatosa is with us now. Hi, Betty. We're almost out of time, but please go ahead.
I know you are. I wondered if he would comment on Doonesbury. That's a political cartoon, and it was especially funny on Sunday. Perhaps you don't have time for this. But an Iraqi soldier and an American soldier were off to capture a Sunni, a certain important one, alive. The Iraqi says, "No, I can't do that. A member of his family killed a member of mine." When did this happen? 1387. And the American soldier says, "What is the matter with you people?"
Mm.
I think he's pretty amusing.
Well, so do I. And in my book, I contrast Gary Trudeau, especially on environmental issues, with Rush Limbaugh and try to look at the different nuances. But I do think that Doonesbury as a strip has often asks questions rather than goes for hard-edged, didactic partisan politics, and I admire him for it.
It was a very interesting hour. Paul Lewis, I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
It's been a great pleasure being with you, Joy.
And Paul Lewis, professor of English at Boston College, author of Cracking Up, American Humor in a Time of Conflict. Talking with us about the debut of a new comedy show, a fake news show, political satire show on the Fox News Channel called the Half Hour News Hour. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.